Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we have a lot of your emails that have been coming into our inboxes. We only have a couple of them with us today because to read all of them would take, I don't know, hours.
Yeah, and these all address the one topic of how to deal with people who aren't going to get vaccinated. We talked last week about how this guy that we were getting food from outside at a truck outside DW food truck, we had a great relationship with him until he told us that he wasn't going to vaccinate, and that kind of ruined it.
Yeah, it soured things really quickly. I mean, it literally left a bad taste in our mouth, you could say, because we're eating his food and talking about how that was weird and we didn't like it. And again, that was the starting point where Gabe and I began discussing this as a topic and then quickly realized that everyone we talked to was really trying to grapple with it and was distressed about it because it's people you like or liked or love and still love, and you don't know how to bridge this new gap between you.
We took a microphone onto the streets of Bonn and wanted to ask people about it, and the first few people we spoke to, we found someone who was having trouble with a colleague. We found another person who, in their family, there were problems, and also friends. So social, the most important social relationships being not ruined, but definitely affected by the question, am I going to vaccinate?
And why aren't you going to vaccinate?
If you're not going to.
Why not? And can we talk about this? We got one of the emails was from Natalia, based in New Zealand. She says, greetings from New Zealand. And she listened to the podcast and had a remarkably similar story. She said, I also had a favorite cafe run by a lovely guy close to my office. A couple of months ago, the vaccination topic came up, and I could not believe how his demeanor has changed. It turns out he's one of the biggest anti-vaxxers I have ever come across. He's totally convinced that a chip is injected with the vaccine and government is trying to control vaccinated people's movements. Again, we talked during the broadcast last week about how there are varying degrees of, you know, not wanting to vaccinate. And this falls into the really extreme and really misinformed category. She goes on to say she was really taken aback. They'd been coffee friends for years. She was calm. She tried to explain the science-based research. And what happened with him? He got more aggressive. The last thing I heard, she writes, was his comment that people like me, who support sustainability initiatives and vaccinations, are brainwashed and lack intelligence. So Natalia no longer goes to this cafe. That was the end of that relationship. I guess a lesson for business owners out there.
Yeah.
Maybe keep your vaccination opinions to yourself unless you're fighting the good fight and encouraging people to vaccinate. I mean, this is a pretty, in my view, a clear cut public health measure that makes everyone safer. And so I have no moral conundrum,
yeah.
No moral issue saying it's okay to encourage other people to vaccinate. That's one lesson to be drawn from this. The other is, yeah, how frustrating for Natalia in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's one level of the exasperation there. A cafe owner who won't vaccinate is an anti-vaxxer. That's hard. But then from Carol Gita, we got a response here where it goes even deeper. She says, we know several family members and friends that are not planning on getting vaccinated. We ourselves, she's probably referring to herself and her husband, have a completely different attitude of gratitude. And then she goes on to write here that they, the people in her family that don't or aren't planning to vaccinate, do not understand. It is very hard and sad. They are proud of their defiant anti-mask and anti-vax choice. It is like a tragedy. And the reason why she says tragedy here, either she or her husband is immunosuppressed. She writes that one of them is immunosuppressed. So they have a very real reason for not being able to be with people who aren't vaccinated. And for that reason, it's splitting up the family.
That's literally splitting up their family. I mean, you can't go be with them if being with them means that might kill you.
Hold on. So she says there's an upcoming wedding where neither the bride and groom will be vaccinated. So we have made a choice not to attend. They can't attend that wedding because of this question. That's how deep this is going. You know, these events that are really, really important for families, some family members won't be there.
And because I would say the non-vaccinators have chosen not to do that in a way they've endangered the others and at the end of the day barred them from coming. That's a bit extreme, but made their ability to come much riskier. Mm.
She concludes by saying there has to be a better way to explain to these people about the basic theories involved. And that last thing there, we also got a response from Uruguay. Aaron, a very faithful listener from down in Uruguay, sent a whole slew of WhatsApp messages to me, different scenarios for how to convince people or the best way to approach people. And his conclusion is that whatever you do, I don't think bullying people into doing what we currently think is the best is a good solution. And that's important. So at the end of the day, even though we are 100% convinced or very convinced that vaccination is a good thing for us and for society, that bullying anyone or trying to force them into changing their minds is also the wrong way to go. So it's a real conundrum.
It's hard. We spoke to the researcher Sarah Eitze from the University of Erfurt. They're involved in this Cosmos project. They're monitoring how Germans feel about getting vaccinated against COVID-19.
Yeah.
I took one of her messages to heart, which is to tell someone that you're open to talking to them about it, to kind of, I don't know, throw that line out there and see if the other person's willing to take it or wants to take it. I thought that was one that stuck with me because you're not forcing anything on people. But I don't know.
Look, at the end of the day, mere mortals, if you're not a virologist, really knows what's going on. What we do know is how many people have been vaccinated. And that it seems to be working extremely well.
No, way beyond.
Think about the 2.26 billion shots that have been administered and what it's doing to the countries where these vaccines have been happening. Things are opening back up.
We had,
because of the vaccine strategy.
In Germany, the last time I looked, the number of daily infections was at 650 in a country of 82 million people.
There were 33,000 a day in December.
The data is so wildly beyond my most optimistic scenarios that's where I struggle, because it's the data's there, it's so obviously clearly there. There's almost
and that compared to the number of adverse reactions to the vaccine.
Yeah. Your choice, as we've said before on the show, your choice is between getting vaccinated or getting COVID-19 at some point in the coming years. And because it will become endemic, we will every fall, every winter, the expectation is that we're going to see the numbers rise again. And for lack of a better way to put it, it will be sad in many different ways if one of your loved ones dies of COVID-19 in the year 2025.
One of the things that horrified me throughout the whole pandemic was the idea of losing a loved one during it. Could you imagine things opening up? We overcome and beat the pandemic, and then you were to lose a loved one?
And because they made a choice not to vaccinate. Ugh. Yeah, it's a totally different scenario, obviously, if a variant develops that can evade our vaccinations. Last thing we'll say on this topic, it comes in the form of an email from David Heinemann, who forwarded us a letter to the editor from his local newspaper, The Terrace Standard, on vax hesitancy.
That he authored and wrote to the local paper.
Correct. And in his email, he kind of summarizes what he's saying there. He says, I have no shame in calling out what he calls COVID stupidity. The hesitant are either ill-informed or not informed at all. Moreover, they menace themselves and the rest of us in their neglect and hostility. Usually, after I've talked with them a bit, they understand or at least pretend to. A lot of us have had, I don't know, similar feelings, similar situations, possibly. But what I really like was the last paragraph of his email. He says, "How is it, do you think, that some get it and some don't? Quality of education is primary. That has to be grounded in critical thinking. A Science Unscripted segment on the quality of critical thought instruction at the various age levels would be welcome." So I can say to you, David, your words here mimic what Gabe, I think 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you said to me, which is, how does it happen that when what I feel is there's abundant data that supports the idea of vaccinating large populations to reduce the spread of a virus with vaccines that, after millions, hundreds of millions of vaccinations are really very, 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 very safe. Why does that not come through?
When did science become something you can believe in or not? That question to me seems really interesting from all kinds of different perspectives. That's the kind of thing, that topic, David, is something we could really do like a multi-part dive into, which we might.
Well, we want to. So, David, thank you for that. Thank you to
thank
all.
Thank you to everyone. Yeah. Yeah. All these emails.
So many emails. I have a healthy guilt part of my brain where I always feel kind of guilty getting all these emails from our listeners around the world and not having the time on a day-to-day basis to write back to each and every one of you.
We can't do a 2 or 3 hour long podcast every day. You can't do that.
No, I mean,
as a matter of fact,
no,
we're too long right now, Connor. Let's wrap this up.
I know. I really want to say thank you, because what I'd love to do is write a personalized email back to each and every one of you.
We don't have secretaries.
It's just us, Gabe. And yeah, for better and for worse. If you have any other similar experiences, any other topics you would like us to pursue, please write us an email. We read every single one of them, su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.